Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sun tomorrow with a passing shower, breezy, high 66, and Friday mostly sunny, breezy, and pleasant, high 72. It's time for The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone as we take the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio on the road to the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, where today Kevin Herr was able to find oil based on divots.
Listen, they're going to make a ton of money here at the country club thanks to my findings, and they didn't have to spend a dime to do the digging.
Absolutely, but we are here at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. We are thrilled to be here and thrilled to take your calls at 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565. Plenty to talk about. A lot coming up on tomorrow's show. On tomorrow's show, we will have for you Patrick Chambers, the Nittany Lion men's basketball coach. Cale Sanderson, an interview with him tomorrow. The Nittany Lion wrestling coach. Guy Godowski, the men's ice hockey coach. And Coquise Washington, the head coach of the Lady Lion basketball team. And it's our hope to get something with Bill O'Brien for Friday's show as well, along with Russ Rose. So that's what we have coming up. Kevin, what do you have lined up?
Well, I'm taking the day off tomorrow. I'm going to need the time to relax after playing 18 holes. I don't think my body can take that much exercise.
You know, this is the kind of golfer Kevin Herr is.
Yes.
There was a hole where one of the other playing partners fouled up a shot.
Yeah. Now, I wouldn't say fouled up a shot. Didn't hit a shot that went further or better, a better position than mine, which, in my defense, did not happen very often today. Now, go ahead.
So, you start cheering.
I don't know if it was... Well, I was not cheering against the fact that
like,
the shot was...
I looked over and said, you know, we're on the same team, right? I said, aren't you supposed to be rooting for them? Then finally, after 16-plus hole, what were we on, 17 or whatever it was?
Yeah.
I finally lost a golf ball. I hit it into the water on 16 or whatever it was. And... You're like, yeah.
Oh, I cheered that time because you lost the golf ball. Because I got every five holes, I'd be losing a golf ball. You're like, I haven't lost one yet. I still got it. Look, there's Tony the Tiger right on the side.
Yep, and I hit Tony on the chops. One time I played in a charity golf tournament with the guys from Kellogg's. And they sent me various products, waters, and things like that, and also Tony the Tiger balls. So what happens is I just smack Tony right in the chops every time I hit, right? It's like my aiming point. And you didn't like the Tony the Tiger ball.
It was just a little weird. Every time you hit a good shot, you went, that's great! It was just kind of weird after a while.
No, that was actually the ball that said that.
Oh.
That's the ball that said that every time. But we are here for the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. And it's great to be a part of a fabulous local event with a great family that means so much to our area here, and to be at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club, which is a first-class facility in many ways. Up there putting on 18, it appears to be.
Do we have to be quiet now?
It appears to be about a 15-footer. The break, I think, will slide from left to right. Hasn't lined up. Approaches, strikes the ball, and it just slides to the left of the hole.
That looks like most of my putts today, sliding just a little left or right of the hole.
What are you? Most of your putts left a vapor trail. We had to go track those things down. What are you talking about?
That's true. We did have to repair some of the greens after a few of the putts.
Oh, he has an incredible slice. I mean, I've never seen anybody. I played golf with a friend of mine, Ed Russell, once. Well, many times I played with Ed. Who has somewhat, but I've never seen anybody have the slice that you have. And not only that, that means the strangest thing that could possibly happen today. Because Kevin Herr, I do believe, is going to win closest to the line on what is seven, eight, whatever.
Yeah.
He was a foot off the line. The thing went through Sealands Grove and Shamokin Dam and then landed in that area because he sliced this thing. It actually was like a fairway over and came back.
It was a beautiful shot.
And
it was majestic.
I mean, and the oddity is it was also short. We didn't use it.
That's the part that really, really kind of stung. It was a majestic left to right.
We didn't use your drive.
Some guys, you know, you ever hear them on the tour when they're on Golf Channel on NBC, they're going, playing this one left to right. Some guys play it left to right. Some guys play it right to left. I happen to play it left to right.
Right.
I mean, it's a little more drastic.
Yes.
But it was closest to the line, and that's the only chance I have at winning anything today.
Well, it was not a great night for Philadelphia in any way, shape, or form, as the Flyers were eliminated by the New Jersey Devils. The Sixers had a chance to close out the Bulls at the United Center, did not, and the Mets beat the Phillies 7-4 last night. Joe Blanton did not follow up his outstanding pitching performance against Atlanta with one on par last night. It just wasn't his night.
But I don't think you can blame him as much. I mean, I thought he had a decent pitching performance, especially for sixth innings. They started to hit him a little bit, but it was the big error on the pickle play between first and second that really threw everything all amok. And I don't remember. I wanted to see the replay, and I never got a chance to. Mayberry was playing first base last night, and I'm not sure if it was Mayberry that decided to throw it over to third and try and get the runner coming back from home to third, or if it was somebody in the pickle rotation. But either way, I mean, that's just a play. You got to take the out, give up the run. At that point, the worst thing you could be looking at was a tie game, and
right.
then the floodgates opened after that.
No question. And so they lose that game, and we'll get more in depth on the Phillies in a moment. As for the Flyers, what did the Flyers in this series, quite frankly, is that New Jersey learned a lot from the Florida Panthers series. In the Florida Panthers series, New Jersey took penalties early in that series, and Florida repeatedly burned them with their power play. New Jersey then backed off at the latter stages of the Florida Panthers series, stayed out of the penalty box, kept it at even strength as often as possible or with themselves in the power play, and very rarely did they find themselves shorthanded. They then carried that over into the Philadelphia series, which includes last night, where the Devils only had 1 2-minute penalty. That was it. They killed it off. 1 2-minute, and that was the pattern. When they won game four at the Rock the other night at the Prudential Center, they only had 4 minutes in penalties. And ironically, the Flyers were 1-for-2 on the power play. So the Devils learned so much that they needed as a veteran team to back off because Florida repeatedly burned them with their power play, and they kept that style of play against Philadelphia, thus kept the Flyers away from having power play advantages. And that's what did the Flyers in, because New Jersey spent better than 90% of the series either at full strength or with the power play themselves. They rarely found themselves down a man and the other team on the power play, because the Devils have not defended the power play well in the postseason, and now they've been smart enough not to take penalties, and by not taking penalties, they now advance.
Let me ask your opinion. After that, after the Penguins series, did the Flyers look a little bit more for the wear because of the physicality of that entire series? Did that have something to do with the way things went in this particular series?
It might have, but I still think it comes down to the fact that New Jersey knows that they are a better team at even strength, and they know they're a better team when they're on the power play as opposed to playing shorthanded. They know that their shorthanded defense, their penalty killing, is not that great, especially at this stage of Marty Brodeur's career. And thus they knew they needed to stay away from being down a man, and they've successfully done that. They only had 6 minutes in penalties the last two games.
You know, you mentioned the Sixers situation. Only about 130 points in that entire game. Lots,
right.
but only 60 points offensively from the Sixers. Is that a lack of offense on the Sixers' part, or was that just good defense?
Probably both.
Or a little of both.
I think it's a little bit of both. All right. The Bulls' defense was pretty good last night, the parts I watched. But the Sixers had no flow offensively either. Part of that was Chicago disrupting it. But the Sixers seemed to be a half step to a full step off almost every time I watched them play last night. Now, the Lakers lost last night. Denver beat them 102-99. Atlanta beat the Celtics 88-87. Atlanta had a lead down the stretch. Celtics came back, then held on. In fact, Rajon Rondo intercepted a pass with 10 seconds to go, came down the floor and couldn't quite get a shot off at the end that would have won it for Boston and closed the series out. Now they have to go back to Boston for Game 6. The Sixers have to go back now to Philadelphia for Game 6. Denver heads home down 3-2 for Game 6, and Indiana closed out Orlando in 5 games last night. Meanwhile, the team nobody wants to talk about, the San Antonio Spurs, who play the best team basketball of anybody, is sitting there 25-2 in their last 27 games. But they don't have Carmelo Anthony, so why talk about them?
Because Carmelo is the whole team.
No, he's the league.
Well, that, all right, he's the whole league.
Either that or the four-letter network. Just I don't know if you own stock in them or what, but I don't get it. I mean, a team has not won a playoff game in 13 years until Sunday. 13 years until Sunday. Right? And that's all they talk about is that team. What about the team that's 25-2? I would talk more about them. They appear to have a successful model. 4 championships, Hall of Fame guys that play as a team and have no egos. I mean, I know it's a ridiculous concept. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. And also, let's get into a little bit. I touched on this yesterday, but the Steve Kerr comments yesterday, which I think are being received universally. What's so odd is that the Players Union happens to be the entity that is standing in the way of a 20-year-old 2-year commitment in college. Now, why would a players' union, which is supposed to be protecting its, quote, existing rank and file, want to have a rule put in place for a group of individuals that are not members of their union yet? Do I have something that's not quite... if this doesn't tell you that the agents are driving the bus... The agents are driving the bus. Nothing does. I mean, that's the only way this can possibly happen. Now, LeBron James would have had his first big contract at the age of 24 instead of 22. He would have had his second contract at 28 instead of 26. In fact, this would have been his season playing it out with Cleveland. And then he would have signed with Miami next year. So that's the drawback there in terms of how far down the road. But look at the more successful players in the NBA. Let's look over the last 30. Larry Bird played all 4 years at Indiana State after transferring from Indiana. Michael Jordan played 3 years. James Worthy played 3 years. Sam Perkins played 4 years. Let's see, who else do we have? Patrick Ewing played all 4 years at Georgetown. Magic Johnson played 2 years. Paul Pierce played 3 years. Rajon Rondo played 2 years. Ray Allen played 4 years. Tim Duncan played 4 years. I mean, on and on we go. The number of successful guys in the NBA, mega successful guys. Now let's bring in Kobe Bryant. Let's talk. Sports is great when it comes to the subject of mythology. What did Kobe Bryant average his rookie year in the NBA? 7.5 points a game. 7.5 points a game. In fact, he airballed 2 shots on the last 2 possessions of the Lakers' playoff loss when they closed it out. It wasn't until his 3rd season that Kobe Bryant hit stride and was Kobe Bryant. 7.5 points a game. Kevin Garnett comes out of high school, averaged 10 points a game. Right? 10 points a game, or 12 points a game for Dwight Howard. Now, LeBron, of course, is off the charts. He was 21 points a game, and he averaged about 7 or 8 rebounds a game. But again, what did those teams do? Let's see now. With that lack of maturity, LeBron James and the Cavaliers won 35 games, missed the playoffs. Minnesota, his rookie year, won 26 games, missed the playoffs. Kobe airballed two possessions to close out the series in his rookie year. Meanwhile, Bird went from 20 wins before he came in to 61 wins. Magic won the title. And Michael Jordan, of course, became Michael Jordan. The league is missing out on the maturity factor tremendously. Even though the rules have been put in place, I think the level of play is more entertaining. I enjoy college basketball more, but the level of entertainment that we're seeing in free flow in the NBA is better, but it has to become a slightly more mature league. And it puts a lot of pressure on scouts and general managers to make evaluations on players after a four-month body of work as opposed to a two-year body of work when they can make a better evaluation. And for the player, it gives them a better read on whether they should stay or go by having 2 years. As far as I'm concerned, you can go pro tomorrow.
I don't think there's any danger of that
oh,
happening.
Oh, my goodness. At least I'm not in the tour based on today.
No. Not even nationwide.
I tell you right now, I didn't know there were so many drainage areas on the course. It's a, really, it's a beautiful course. I remember,
but they're all free drops.
Yeah, I remember driving past the fairway a few times with you on the way to get your ball.
I told you I wanted you the full experience of the golf course here at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, and you have seen it all.
Yes. Tomorrow's show, by the way, Cale Sanderson, an interview with him, an interview with Patrick Chambers, Coquise Washington, and hockey coach Guy Gadowski, all a part of tomorrow's show. And then we're looking to get Bill O'Brien, an interview with him for Friday's show, along with Russ Rose.
I'm looking forward to it.
No, they're looking forward to hearing from you.
I'm sure they are.
Every time I bring your name up, I get the same reaction.
I bet you do.
Yeah, I do. So, what a beautiful day. You cannot ask for a better, more picturesque setting. We're out here. Let's call this, instead of the patio, the veranda. It sounds better.
Is there a difference between a patio and a veranda?
Yes, the sound of it.
Oh, all right. Okay. Good enough.
We could do it your way, you know, around the porch, if you want.
That's right.
Or we could try it my way. I mean, do we think we refer to the Sunbury Motor Studio? I refer to it as being in the chateau. Jack Ham calls me last night. He says, how was the show at the Chateau? Even he's on board, right? This is a veranda.
The veranda.
Yes.
I thought veranda had to have, like, a lattice work or something like that.
If you want, during the commercial break, if you wish to do some lattice work, it's up to you.
All right. I'll do that now.
I'm calling it the veranda no matter what, because we have the view of all views up here. We see everything from up here. Picturesque mountains, the valley down below, the golf course in front of us. It is a postcard where we are right now. I've compared it many times when I've been up here to the view I have in the summertime at Medlar Field at Lebrano Park, where I have Mount Nittany over the center field wall. This is the ultimate view that you want to have to do a show from the veranda.
The porch.
The yes.
Porch. Where I come from, we call them porches.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to say which ballpark in the minor leagues, but there was an outfielder who played in the New York Penn League who was so bitter about where he played, he referred to the fans in the outfield area as the porch people. I thought, that's bitter. I'll tell you right now, he didn't move up very far. He's not playing baseball any longer. But these charity golf tournaments are a lot of fun. We enjoy them very much. And again, the Purdy family has treated us first class all the way through. We could not have asked for better or a better day. The YMCA people can't ask for a better day. And a lot of good has been done for the Y today. I know that. Do you feel like you have to pull that far back? I mean, that far back? That's how wide we are?
No, that's just to fit me in the frame. You're okay. You're all right.
I mean, I looked at her. She's. They're telling her, go further.
She was
back.
All the way out there on the tee of two trying to get a shot, you know.
Well, they're out there. They say, go back. She says, how far? They say, Cleveland. What does that mean? But give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. I just found the Steve Kerr article. interesting beyond words, because let's take it to an NFL model. The NFL model is this. You have to be in school, or at least out of high school, for 3 full years. Now, you may be a redshirt sophomore. You might be a pure junior. But you must be out 3 4 years, 3 full years before you go to the NFL. At that point, you have a pretty good evaluation on players.
Your information source 7 days a week. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Vehicle thefts in Watsontown, plus can the commissioners move forward? AccuWeather says some sun early, then increasing clouds for the rest of today, a high 75. A good afternoon to you. I'm Sarah Bartlett. Watsontown police are investigating after 2 vehicles were broken into Monday night or Tuesday morning in the borough. Both vehicles were parked in the 400 block of Ash Street. The vehicles were forcibly entered and 2 shotguns were stolen, along with 2 purses, a camera, and electronic items. Anyone with information is asked to contact Watsontown Police. After Northumberland County Commissioner Rick Schock was voted out as chairman by the other commissioners, many may wonder if the board will be able to work well together over the next 3.5 years. Commissioner Stephen Bridie today says that that won't be a problem.
I look at this as a business, and I've had numerous disagreements with other business leaders and even partners in business. We've always been able to iron things out. You know, I just want to do what's right for the people, and that's the bottom line.
Schock was voted out after writing an editorial accusing Commissioners Bridie and Vinnie Clausey of trying to manipulate public opinion for their own benefit instead of focusing on the issues. There were no injuries, but traffic was tied up for more than an hour after a tractor-trailer crashed near Port Treverton yesterday. State police say 57-year-old Anthony Dibler of Shamokin was traveling south on Routes 11 and 15 and lost control of his truck, which struck the center barrier and became disabled around 3:45 p.m. The truck was blocking both a north and southbound lane on Routes 11 and 15. Fire police were called to the scene to direct traffic while that accident was cleared. AccuWeather says we'll see some sun today and then increasing clouds as the day goes on, a high 75. Mostly cloudy overnight tonight, a low 49. Times of clouds and sun tomorrow with a passing shower, breezy, high 66. And Friday, mostly sunny, breezy, and pleasant, high 72. It's time for the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Why choose Evenlink? Here's why. Even faster access, even better customer service, and even lower prices. Switch from expensive cable to Evenlink's TV, phone, and internet service. Get high-speed internet, all digital TV, plus your local channels with free high def. Add unlimited phone service, plus keep your same number. Packages starting from $75 per month. All three from $75 per month total, plus tax. Why pay more? It's the same TV stations, the same web pages, and the same phone service, but from Evenlink. For a lot less money. You could save $1,000 per year when you switch. Don't wait. Start saving today. No phone line in the house? Don't worry. Evenlink has the technology to bring you DSL only to the home. Call today and Evenlink will waive the $35 installation fee too. That's right. Free installation. A friendly, helpful, and local company for over 15 years. Evenlink. Even faster access. Even better customer service. Even lower prices. Call Evenlink at 988-1800. That's 988-1800 for Evenlink.
Looking for a little extra spring in your step? Well, maybe it's time to put in a new Karasten carpet from Oberdorf Carpet One in Lewisburg. During National Karasten Month, Oberdorf Carpet One has the lowest prices of the season on Karasten carpets. From gorgeous textures to enduring loop pile carpets, at Oberdorf Carpet One, buying new Karasten carpet is easier than ever. With so many choices, though, picking one may be a bit harder. Celebrate the savings during the National Karasten Month at Oberdorf Carpet One in Lewisburg.
Here's the what, when, where, and why you need to be at the Lewisburg Hotel May 10th at 5. It's our Life and Style Expo. It's free admission, games, fun, food, fashions, cash and carry shopping. Win a tour through wine country in your very own limo and a closet makeover. Featured speakers fostering healthy relationships. Are you surviving or thriving? Empowerment for women. And our super hot spring and summer fashion show. All women looking for a fun night out. Sponsored by News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club, where we enjoyed a great round of golf today as part of the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Steve Jones, Kevin Herr alongside. For us today, I know the three of us at one point, what was it, Drew? Was it the second hole that we voted? And Kevin Herr was out and Sarah Bartlett was in. I believe that's what happened, right?
No, I don't recall it that way, as a matter of fact. I don't recall it being that way.
He cheered when he messed up a shot.
You cheered
when I put the ball in the water.
Well, that one you deserve.
On 16.
You were bragging for four straight holes how you did not lose a ball.
All I said
you asked for it.
No, you said, what ball are you playing? I said, the same one I have been playing. That's not bragging, okay? I was not going around saying, look, it's the same ball. I said, that's the same one I've been playing all day.
No,
correct?
No. What happened was I lost a ball, and you go, well, I don't know. I haven't lost one all day. That was bragging.
You think so?
Yeah.
Look, because you were out of the free ones by the second hole doesn't mean there were issues. Well, I mean, can Bartlett play?
I would think better than
what
we got here.
Drew Kelly? I mean, really?
I mean, look.
That's cold.
I mean, you cheered every time any one of the three of us were on the same team.
I don't think I cheered at any time when Drew hit a bad shot.
It would be the equivalent of Jack Ham cheering when Andy Russell blew a coverage. I mean,
exactly.
It's insane.
Wait, no. They weren't competing for the same position. That was the difference there. I was competing for my shot to be used sometime today.
Look, just because you took the card and marked which ones were your drives before we started the round didn't show insecurity.
We did have to use two drives from everybody, and mine wasn't on the par threes either. I'm very happy to say.
No, it was not. They're on the driving range. All right. our number is one. I'd like you just to sum up the day as you saw it.
Oh, yeah, please do.
A beautiful day of golf. Nice weather.
I would agree with that.
Good food.
I would agree with that.
Raising money for the YMCA.
Right.
Yes.
Historic tournament. Purdy's have been
part
of this tournament for a long time.
21st year of this tournament.
21 years, yep.
All right, thanks a lot, Drew.
And some golf shots that can only be described as
unique.
Interesting.
Interesting, okay.
Now, I want to say this, that the hosts, the Purdy's, the YMCA, couldn't be any better. And the Susquehanna Valley Country Club is as beautiful a layout as I've had the privilege of playing. Enjoyed what was my first trip around this course and found it to be challenging, found it to be intriguing, found it to, you know, you have to have good course management to play this. My course management drove you up the wall.
Well, it was just on the one hole. When you call it course management, you know, we're playing right around even par, all right? When you're playing a scramble, you know you're going to have to be under par to win it. And we come up on the par five, and Steve takes out the 3-iron from about 6 miles away from the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, aren't you going to go for the green? No. It's course management.
I said I wanted to be. How far away did I say I wanted to be?
About 100 yards.
Where did my ball end up?
105. Mark Mahoney, on the other hand, comes out, takes a 3-wood, and knocks it 3 feet from the green.
I'm just saying. You know, you have, but he can take that shot because my shot's already in a spot to play.
Oh, I see. You were playing team golf. Is that what it was? All right.
That's exactly what I was doing, wasn't
okay.
it? Right. Look, we don't go out there with the selfish attitude. I mean, you're the kind of guy that we lost the game 5-3, but I scored twice. this is how we're playing with.
If you scored as many times as I did in my career, you'd be happy with that.
The three of us are out there trying to play and get along and have a good time, and all you're trying to do is get your slice of yours. I mean, that's what we're... And every time he hit a shot, we all had to stop and celebrate.
I don't know. My favorite was we're on the tee, and people are coming up, oh, Steve, thanks for coming. It was really nice to see you. And I'm like, oh, and that's great. I love that. I think that's wonderful. It's just when I'm in the middle of my backswing and Steve says, I can talk during his backswing. It's not going to hurt anything. That's when I felt a little bit insulted. You know, maybe I took it wrong. I don't know.
No, you took it right.
Oh, okay.
All right. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. Okay. Something that won't, you know, what's interesting is I watched a little bit of Steve Blass last night. And Blass says on the Pirate broadcast, I don't, because Bryce Harper had come to the plate. He said, I really don't want to talk a lot about Cole Hamels. And then spent the next three innings talking about Cole Hamels. And by the way, I'm in the process of trying to get Steve Blass on the show.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Cole Hamels.
No, we can work on that
too. All right.
But Steve Blass. Trying to get Blass on the show, get another Connecticut guy on there. And he said that he would intentionally hit a guy when he played, but admit it was not intentional. Well, that, I mean, Hamels' fault in all this is that he told everybody he did it. If he did not say a word about what he did, but internally in the clubhouse said, hey, guys, I did that to send a message, fine. But when he told everybody he did it, they had to suspend him. And the bottom line is a 5-game suspension for a pitcher is an absolute joke, because if it's a relief pitcher or a position player, 5 games is 5 games. If Jonathan Papelbon, for example, did something and was suspended for 5 games, that would hurt the Phillies. He'd be out 5 games. He's being pushed back one day on a turn. That's all. If you're gonna suspend him, suspend him for 10 games because that ensures he's going to miss a turn. Or suspend him for 8 games because that ensures he's going to miss a turn. The only reason he should be suspended is for saying he did it.
We were talking to a few guys out on the veranda before the show started. Notice I said veranda.
It's a porch.
So we were talking with a few guys, and one of the questions that popped up is, why not a fine for the bean ball to Hamels?
Oh, you know,
in response.
No, he should have been.
Rizzo gets a fine as the GM for speaking out against, right or wrong. I'm not sure that it's the GM's place to make a comment. Maybe if the manager made that comment, it wouldn't be as big of a deal.
Rizzo has not said a word.
Well, the guy that got beaned in the first place.
Bryce Harper, the ninth.
There's a rivalry there now.
Divisional success equals a rivalry. That's what it comes down to now. That's a rival. They know that. Just like they knew they had to somehow beat the Mets. Well, now they know it does become a rivalry for them because they're at the top part of the food chain at the moment. At least they're not at the top of the food chain right now. The Phillies need to get Utley back. They need to get Ryan Howard back. And I think that they have not been able to sufficiently plug enough holes with their farm system. I think that has to be something in the farm. Come up and is just knocking the cover off the baseball. Now, are the Red Sox winning? No. But has he filled the gap for Euclid? Yes. And the problem that the Red Sox have is it's not just Euclid. They have Ellsbury out. They have Crawford out. Beckett missed the turn. Right now, they have one-third of their starting lineup out of action right now. And every guy that is out of action is an all-star player. The Phillies have two all-star players out right now, obviously, in Howard and Utley. And they have not been sufficiently been able to slow the leak. The guy from the minor leagues is not going to come up and mystically completely fill in. That has to be a appointment because there are some guys at single A Williamsport I have seen that can hit. They have guys that can hit that I've seen. And for whatever, and I've seen power with several first basemen in this organization, and none of them have upward mobility. Now, the kid I like, you know, most of all, Sebastian, the year old, a big time big league prospect. He's only 21, and he has it. When Ruiz goes, and this guy, I think, eventually moves in, I would think that within the next 2 years, he'll be with the big club. I think he's that good. He's the best prospect I've seen down there, although I thought Chase Darno's brother was really good. I really did. You know, I think they dealt him.
But, well, that's what I was just going to ask you, and you lead to it now. Is the Phillies' dealings over the last couple of years to play for the now as opposed to play for the future? Are the Phillies starting to feel a little bit of the pain of being able to do that?
No doubt. But you know what? I am a proponent of getting it done now. You don't get many opportunities at hand in sports to win it all now. If you keep playing for the future, you never have a present. And I don't think if you keep playing for the future, you never have a present. The only way you play for the future is if you're an up-and-coming team. If you're in a position to win now, you make deals to win now because those opportunities are few and far between. Philadelphia is a great example of that. They are a franchise that's been in business since 1876. They have 2 world championships. So when you have the chance to make a move, to win now because you're on the verge, I say it's worth the risk. Because you can't keep always playing for the future.
But then again, there's always that time, like right now, well, where it hurts.
And it does hurt now. I mean, but there's risk and reward. There's risk and reward. They won in 2008 because they made all the right moves. Would you trade 2008 knowing that you're going to have 2012? I would.
No, but I'm more worried about...
I want the championship.
But I'm more worried about 9, 10, and 11.
Well, the Phillies have been in the slide, and I think the fans have to realize this. They've gone from world champion in 2008 to World Series loser in 2009 to LCS loser in 2010 to divisional loser in 2011. So they've had a continued one step back each year. Now, part of that's age. Okay, part of that is age. And part of that is just a product also of other people getting better. Look at Washington. Why is Washington near the top? When you're drafting at the top all the time, eventually somebody has to come to the front for you. They have their two first overall picks playing now, Strasburg and Harper. So when you're drafting up, you eventually do catch somebody. That's the way the system is supposed to work. Roger?
Steve, we got a question from the veranda.
From the veranda. Does Roy Oswalt look more enticing to the Phillies now? Because if you think about bringing Oswalt back, give him a couple weeks to get ready.
Yeah.
Then it gives you an option of not only sending Kyle Kendrick to the bullpen, which is what's going to happen when Cliff Lee comes off, but maybe sending Vance Worley to the bullpen too. Is that a possibility?
You know, Roger, if I had my choice between Worley and Blanton in the bullpen, I'd choose Blanton. And Worley's probably better suited for it,
mm-hmm.
but I think Vance Worley's pitched really well as a starting pitcher. I think that'd be a hard guy to move. What do you think about that? I think he's a tough guy to move out of there right now.
The Phillies have a lot of situation pitchers at best in the bullpen. They have Chad Qualls, who can get righties out. They have Bastardo, who can get lefties out.
And Qualls, by the way, I like a lot.
That I'm glad you do.
Yeah.
Still warming up to him, though. But the Phillies need somebody who can actually pitch, you know, two innings if needed, not just, you know, situational, because they're going through their whole pen.
Yeah,
in a game. So, but an Oswalt or someone out there that could give them at least some flexibility in making a choice between Blanton and Worley.
Oswalt's the guy mm-hmm. because he's the one that's available,
mm-hmm.
and I think he's the one, believe it or not, you can get at the cheapest price right now.
Sure,
that has been around the block. He also knows Charlie Manuel. He knows the Philly system. He's used to how the Phillies do business. I think those are all pluses that work for him. You'd have to give him a couple of weeks like the Yankees have with Andy Pettit. But it shows you how thin the Yankee pitching is. Pettit got one start with Scranton Wilkes-Barre. Say, okay, great, you're done. Come on mm-hmm. up. We're ready for you. So the Phillies have as fine a starting staff as there is in baseball mm-hmm. when everybody's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think anybody would be envious to have Cole Hamels as their third starter.
Sure.
But you're right. Kendrick has to go to the pen. And because where the Phillies are struggling right now, if there's any game that was apparent, it was the one where Halliday left after the game, and you could tell mentally it wasn't Roy Halliday.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The other night he pitched pretty well. He came back, and I mean, it's just the inability to hit.
Yeah.
But the Phillies have run through that bullpen. In that game, that was evidence of a team that just, they're running out bodies to pitch, and the arms aren't good enough. Yeah. I do like Qualls. Now, Papelbon, you know what I think about him. I think Papelbon is as big league a closer as there is right now, especially with Rivera out. But you have to somehow get to him. Kendrick's probably that guy. And I think then you have to make a judgment between Worley and Blanton as to which one is mentally better suited to warm up and come in. Because some guys are so conditioned as starting pitchers, they need that X amount of time in the bullpen to warm up, usually longer than most. And so you have to be able, and this is where they have to make it, that the pitching coach is the one that knows, and the bullpen, those are the two guys that know. So I'm not going to pretend I know. But it may be a case like, let's just pick one. Let's pick Worley. Worley may be the kind of guy that in 10 pitches is warm and mentally can walk into a game with somebody on base, whether it's 1, 2, or 3.
Mm-hmm.
And make pitches. If they determine that mentally, in terms of his ability to warm up and adapt, and to walk into a situation to make something happen. If he's better suited than that, to say Blanton, who takes more time to warm up because he has a starting pitcher's mentality, then I think that's what determines what the move is as to which one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we're at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Kevin says we must break something about they're bringing food out to him. Don't know what that means. Our number is 1-800-795, but we'll continue this in a moment. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. Come on out and join us here at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. It is a gorgeous evening for a talk show, golf, and charity. As we come back with more of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this.
Getting what you pay for, that's value. You want it when you buy a pair of shoes or a car. You should also insist on it when you're accessing health care. I'm Dr. Glenn Steele, President and CEO of Geisinger Health System, with a continuing discussion on improving health care. Do you know if your doctor or hospital is delivering value-driven care? Is your care based on best practices and proven evidence? Is it well-coordinated and designed to keep you as healthy as possible? Does your hospital have the best possible outcome? Does it even publish its outcomes? Value-driven providers involve patients as partners in their good health, and they work together to obtain measurable results. They focus on wellness and preventive care, and to ensuring that patients get the care they need when and where they need it. That's what value means in health care. A healthier America is within reach. For Geisinger Health System, I'm Dr. Glenn Steele.
Experienced loan officers make borrowing easy, and you deserve the best.
Northumberland National Bank, nothing too big or too proud. Northumberland National Bank, we don't just follow the crowd.
Borrowing money can be a stressful experience at the Northumberland National Bank. Our loan officers work hard to solve your borrowing needs in a friendly and relaxed manner. Our team of experienced loan officers have over 163 years of banking experience. It doesn't get better than that.
We know the world keeps on changing, making you feel rather small. But we're used to dealing with problems, standing by you through it all.
Call or come by the Northumberland National Bank on Front Street, Northumberland, on 4th Street, Sunbury, Lorry Lane in Hummel's Wharf, Port Treverton and Middleburg. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The customer always comes first.
Once again, the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, the Daily Item, and the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation are honoring area high school seniors as outstanding young Americans. These students have excelled in many areas in both the classroom and their communities. Congratulations to Megan Lamott from Danville Area Junior Senior High School, Thomas Toole from Lewisburg High School, Adam Snyder from Lime Mountain High School, and Carrie Siebert from Meadowbrook Christian School. The Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, Daily Item, and the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation would also like to mention these students who, like the group just named, have been lauded as outstanding young Americans. Maggie Snook of Midwest High School, Amy Smith from Mifflinburg High School, Northumberland Christian School's Brooke Conklin, Eliza Miller of Seals Grove High School, Shigalamy High School's Kimberly Krankowski, and Benjamin Manival of Sun Area Technical Institute. Here's a sincere wish for all the best in the future from the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, the Daily Item, and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents The Road Report. 10 minutes before the hour each weekday morning on WKOK. We'll talk about construction slow spots, and we'll let you know if the weather is going to affect driving. Before you hit the road, check out The Road Report at WKOK.com. Then, listen to News Radio 1070 WKOK to find out what you'll run into on the way to work. The Road Report is on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Beautiful. Susquehanna Valley Country Club, where today Kevin Hurst set the course record shooting a 59. Great to have you with us.
It was a beautiful 59. Thank you for noticing.
Oh, boy. You know, you get a little bit worried when they say, where's the clown's nose? Just hit the ball. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. Schwimmer was sent down by the Phillies to Lehigh Valley because they've activated Cliff Lee, who is back in the Philly lineup. So the Phillies have gone from having $57 million on the disabled list. Now they're down to just a mere $26 million or $36 million on the disabled list. $36 million on the disabled list after having 57.
Well, they're saving money. They don't have to pay Cole Hamels for a few games.
Yeah. Well, that'll be over soon enough. But the Phillies have to, you know, they have to find a stride. And as I've said earlier, if you get the 4th of July is now going to be the key. Where is Philadelphia on the 4th of July?
Now, wait a minute. You said it was the end of April.
No, I said...
Or end of May, rather.
Yeah, but I've changed that only because I want to give Utley and Howard a chance to be in the lineup.
Okay.
I want to give Utley and Howard a chance to be in the lineup. In the 4th of July, with Utley and Howard both back in the lineup, if they are not making some progress with upward mobility in the standings, now you have to ask yourself, do they become sellers instead of buyers on July 31st?
Phillies fans haven't seen that in quite some time.
Well, I know at the 14th hole today we wanted to sell you.
No buyers. No buyers.
It was awfully thin pool out there. Very thin.
Three golfers to be named later.
CBS News at the top of the hour, followed by Sarah Bartlett. Don't forget tomorrow, Kale Sanderson, Patrick Chambers, Coquise, Washington.
Business and Fox Sports Radio is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.